The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Well, good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family, and happy Mother's Day. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Peoria Nazarene, and I want to welcome you to our online worship service. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, I encourage you to say hi to each other there in the comments. If you're a part of our family Facebook page, post your Sunday selfie and say hello there. But we hope and pray that that video during the countdown was a blessing to you. And don't worry if you didn't get to see it. If you're just now joining us, we're going to make that available on our family Facebook page following our time together this morning. But we just wanted to do something special for our mothers, maybe our biological mothers, maybe just a godly, motherly figure that God placed along our paths in our lives. And we just wanted to say thank you and honor them this morning. And we pray today that you have an especially blessed Sunday. Well, we're going to pause and pray before we continue and invite God's presence in our homes, and then we're going to worship together. Heavenly Father, we pause right now and we just say, you are welcome in our homes. You are welcome among us as we gather in your name. And our prayer this morning is that as we open up your word, that as we worship together, that you would receive glory, that you would receive honor, and that everything that we say and do would be pleasing to you. Bless the words of Pastor Mark as he opens up your word to share with us. May you anoint his speech. May you give him clarity of thought. And may we have the ears and hearts to hear what you would have to say to us. And may we have the grace to respond in obedience to whatever it is that you call us to do. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
I will extol you, my God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever.
I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever.
Great is the Lord, and worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts.
They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does.
The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does.
My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Oh, So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and I hope
Welcome, Peoria Nazarene Church family, and to all who are joining in through our live stream at home. If you're new and you've never joined us before, my name is Mark McCall. I'm the lead pastor here at Peoria Nazarene, and while I would love to meet you in person, and maybe someday we'll have that opportunity, right now I'm just thankful to welcome you, and such an honor to have you join us in this live stream. I just wanted to bring a very brief update about things as they progress with our local church, in terms of eventually opening back up. And I just wanted to start by saying a little bit about who we are as a church. If you've been around Peoria Nazarene Church long, you'll realize that we are a church that is very deeply committed to connecting disconnected people to God's love and God's family. It's who we are. It's the number one thing we hear from visitors is that our church is, we feel like a family that is loving with open arms. And it's just who we are and who God has made us to be. And because of that, we miss each other. And while we're still connecting through various means of communication, we miss each other. And we look forward to the day when we can gather once again. But I just wanted to share with you, at this time, we have no immediate plans to reopen. But our church board and our staff are going to be discussing and planning that eventual day that'll be here. It will come eventually. And as we do that, I just want you to know that we have such a wonderful, wise church board. And I'm going to be walking closely with the church board, working together, leading the church board through that process. We'll be having conversation as well with our wonderful district family here in the Northwest Illinois District, Church of the Nazarene. We have wonderful leaders, our district superintendent, Dr. Sherwood. And so our board and myself will be in close conversation with our district recommendations as well as our global church. And at the same time, I want to once again reiterate that we're committed to respectfully honoring our governing authorities as they seek to lead us in this. And part of honoring them, that's one part of our biblical imperative, but it's also important that Scripture tells us to pray for wisdom. And so we as followers of Jesus, we are passionately committed to praying for all of our governing authorities. You'll find if you ever attend Peoria Nazarene, we have a wide variety of people who are part of our church family. We have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have independents, we have people all over the spectrum. But what we share in common is our greatest passion isn't politics, it's our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we desire more than anything to be made like him. And so we commit to pray for all governing authorities, and we commit to do our part to share the love of Jesus with as many people as possible. So I just want to take a moment. I just want to pause and for us to continue to pray for our governing authorities and also our doctors, our nurses, as we can, who continue to minister in this time. And also just want to encourage you to pray for our assisted living homes. There's so many that we love, specifically two that we normally have a regular service in, Hardest Senior Living, Bickford Senior Living. There's so many others that we care about, Lutheran Hillside, Rosewood and beyond. But we are especially praying for those seniors. There have been some deaths, I know, at Bickford, directly related to COVID. And we want to pray for those seniors there, for those workers there as well. So let's just take a moment to pray together. Father in heaven, we love you. But what's far more important is the fact that you love us. And we as followers of Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. We are so proud to be a part of this great nation. But our true citizenship is first and foremost in heaven. And our identity is first and foremost to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so our greatest passion during this time, Lord, it's to honor and it's to pray. It's to pray for wisdom for all of our governing authorities, that they would make wise decisions that would be in our best interest, both with our health, with the well-being and the safe protection of many who are vulnerable, but also that they'll make wise decisions about our economy. And Father, we just pray that you'll send forth wisdom. But our greatest passion is this, that you would use us, Peoria Nazarene, to be a light. Father, that you would use us to show your self-giving love to people who are hurting, who don't know you. Father, you put this passion in our hearts that we are so passionate about wanting to see people disconnected, be ultimately connected to your love through the Lord Jesus Christ. So would you use even this time we have together to do just that? We trust you. Thank you for our leaders and our church board, our district. Thank you for how we know you will guide us as we seek to continue to make disciples for the glory of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, along with Pastor Matt, I want to extend all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day. And so for all of our moms who are joining virtually on the live stream, I'd like to say happy Mother's Day. And I think it'd be okay. Have you ever seen those NFL videos where every now and then a camera would catch a certain NFL player or some other sport, and they used to just say, "Hi, Mom," was always what they would mouth. And I think I need to do that because I know my mom is joining in. So I want to say, "Hi, Mom, happy Mother's Day." And also, I just want to take a moment to tell some jokes about my mother-in-law because she's joining in. But I won't do that. I won't do that. So just joking there. But hi, mother-in-law, and happy Mother's Day as well to my wife. The truth is, we have so many wonderful moms at Peoria Nazarene, and not just earthly moms. We have so many amazing women who are spiritual moms, who invest their lives in people that may not be their children, but have become their children in the family of God. So I just want to recognize all of our ladies today and let you know we love you. We're thankful for you. And we as a church would like to give a gift to you. And this has been in the planning for a couple weeks. We made an order a couple weeks ago. It was supposed to be delivered last Tuesday, but with COVID-19, everything's running late. But here's what we have for you. I'm not going to attempt to name these plants because I don't know the first thing about a plant. But I've been told that it's really hard to kill these plants. And my wife and I used to joke a lot. She used to say that she had a knack for killing plants, but recently she's become very good at keeping them alive. And so these are some plants we bought enough for not just our moms, but we want to honor all the ladies in our church family. So our church board, our staff, is going to safely, in a socially distanced way, be delivering these. They're supposed to come in this week, but I'm not going to make any promises because the order was delayed. All I will say is that when they come in, we're excited about being able to deliver one of these. And let me tell you why we do that. It's not because you just need another plant. My hope and my prayer would be that it would be a reminder that you would take this plant from the church family and maybe you put it on your home office desk while you're working from home, or take it with you if you still are going to a place of employment. And I hope that every day you see this plant, I hope it would remind you how special you are to the Peoria Nazarene church family, that you are loved so deeply by our church family and beyond that. So much more beyond that. I hope it would be a reminder of how much God loves you. So again, I just want to thank you for joining us, and happy Mother's Day to all of our moms, both physical and spiritual moms today. I'm going to talk just about family for a moment. when we think of Mother's Day, we think about the importance of family. And part of that is we take time to acknowledge people who've made a significant impact in us. In the midst of the busyness, we slow down. And we send a text, we send a card, we send flowers. And we express to those family members, those loved ones, how much they mean to us. And we take time to express the positive impacts that have been made. And I want to talk to you about that because we've been in a series where we're calling Can It Really Be True? It's a series where we're looking at the death and resurrection of Jesus. And basically what we're doing is we're taking time to ask the question is, are the claims of the death and resurrection of Jesus, are they trustworthy? Is the message of Christian hope that we proclaim at Easter, is it a hope that really is true, a hope that can impact me today? And in this series, we've been presenting evidence that verifies the death of Jesus. We've been presenting evidence scientifically, medically, historically, that even talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we've considered the evidence for the cross. We've considered the evidence for the empty tomb. But today I want us to think about those eyewitnesses. And the reason I started with family is because you and I know that so many times what impacts us and changes us, it isn't just the evidence or an argument. It's when we encounter somebody who truly is loving and kind, who cares for us when we don't deserve it, and we see something in somebody that is good and right. And they give us grace when we don't deserve it. They care for us when we can't give anything back. That's why family's so special. That's why many of us are celebrating our moms today, because of a legacy or an impact. When we think about our eyewitnesses, there's an important point for us to think about. The Bible presents that the Christian faith from the very beginning was based upon the historical reliability of the witnesses who saw Jesus alive. I won't read all the scriptures, but if you want to later, just for yourself, scripture, the whole Bible, the New Testament, emphasizes that Jesus appeared to multiple eyewitnesses after his death. And when somebody dies, they don't appear to people. This verifies his resurrection, and we could look at the Gospels, we could look at Acts, we could look at 1 Corinthians, where Paul says that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and then to over 500 people, many of whom are still alive at the time of Paul's writing of his letter to Corinth in around the 50s AD. It's significant. Paul's saying, go talk to the eyewitnesses. So we are to take the evidence of the eyewitnesses. And what caused the church to grow was because what they were communicating was historical. And many found their testimony to be trustworthy. But I want to talk to you about this morning is really about how the Christian faith spreads. The power of the Christian faith is the good news that Jesus proclaimed, that the apostles proclaimed in a life-changing way. But the gospel is the message, simple message, that we can know God personally through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's not just a message about consider the evidence historically and mentally come to a conclusion on that, whether it's trustworthy or not. That's part of it. It's historical. But ultimately, the message of the Christian faith is that God wants to have a personal relationship with you now in the present. That what Jesus did historically in his life, his death, and his resurrection has fundamentally changed our existence as human beings in this world. It's given us hope. It's given us the possibility of redemption. The gospel message is that we can know God personally, that God, our Creator, created humanity to know and to love Him. He did not create us to know sin and death and suffering. Those things came into existence because of humanity's decision to rebel, to reject God as the rightful ruler of our lives. And the faith is passed along from one Christian to the next, all the way back to the very teachings and life of Jesus in the early church proclaiming the resurrection. The faith is passed along by the love of Jesus, really being in genuine followers of Christ. And it's when that love reaches out freely from one person to the next that we experience the love of Jesus, and we too experience his death and resurrection. You know, a lot of people leave the church at times in general in America, and they reject Christianity because they encountered a church that wasn't loving, or they encountered a form of Christianity that wasn't biblical. It wasn't like Christ, that humble, loving Savior who's also Lord and King of Kings. And I just want to encourage you, if you're seeking and if you're exploring whether Christianity is true, I do want to keep encouraging you. Christianity says engage your mind, engage reason, science, practice good historical research. Search the matters out. We believe the Christian faith is historical and it's true. But let me tell you to do something else, because this is what we see in the New Testament. Find a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. You know, I hope one day maybe that if you don't come to our church, you'll come to Peoria Nazarene. But more than that, don't just come to a church to check out and try to see who Jesus is. I want you to encounter so deeply a genuine follower of Jesus who has the love of God in them, who's been radically changed, who knows that they were a sinner and they didn't have hope, and yet the love of God found them. And if you encounter a genuine follower of Jesus who has the love of God in their heart, there's no greater evidence that Jesus is alive than to watch that genuine follower of Jesus. Let me add one caveat to that. Especially watch that follower of Jesus when they suffer. We all suffer, Christians and non-believers. We have questions. We go through challenges. We face the same death and suffering in this life. But when you watch a Christian suffer, you'll see their humanity, but you'll also see a hope that's there, a love that's there. So my hope and prayer for you is, if you don't know Jesus, I hope you don't just come to church. I hope you find, and more importantly, I hope a real genuine follower of Jesus finds you, who will show you what the love of God can do in your life. The greatest witness, of the resurrection is the life-changing love of God in a sinner that's been saved by his grace. The evidence is there historically for his death, for his resurrection. There's good reason to believe when we look at the biblical sources, or if we look at extra-biblical sources. But the greatest evidence is not in the past. It's here. It's today when you encounter somebody who was lost and hopeless, and yet the love of God found them, a sinner, saved by God's grace, changed, given hope and life. That is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of this. Paul, remember, was one who encountered Peter. He met Peter after his conversion, and James, we're told, in those first 3 years after he encountered Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul was not a believer. Yet he, after encountering Jesus, he experienced that divine love of God that would change him to where his whole life would be about sharing that with other people. Paul says this in Romans 1, 16 through 17, "For I'm not ashamed of this good news, this gospel about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile, all people. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, of God's love." You see the evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus ultimately directs us to the message we have of hope, of the good news of the gospel. And it is this living message that even now today in the year 2020, all these years after Christ, can bring you hope today. And it's my greatest prayer and desire that you would encounter this love that I've come to know in my heart and we have come to share in at our church family. The message is simple. Let me share it with you today. There's many ways we can share it, but it always centers around God's love in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So I want to share this with you. The good news tells us there is a healing to receive. There is a healing to receive. I don't know how long it's been since you've been to the doctor. Some of us may be avoiding the doctor, putting something off because of the nature of our current circumstances in this COVID time. But I don't know about you, but I've had a conversation with a doctor some time ago where I had one of those truth conversations where the doctor told me I needed to lose some weight. And he told me that if I don't make changes, this is where I'm headed. Now, I'll tell you what, that did not encourage me. I didn't like to hear that, but it was necessary for me to hear the truth so that I could become convinced that my current lifestyle and my current way of living was ultimately putting my life and my physical well-being in jeopardy. In a sense, I had to be told that how I'm living and what I'm doing isn't working. And I want to share with you something I think is so important, that before we can realize that the gospel of Jesus is good news, that there is a healing for our hearts, we have to become convinced that we are not well. You see, Jesus said in his earthly ministry, he said this very thing. He said, I've not come for those who think they're well. I've come for those who know they're sick. And I want to talk to you about how that happens in your life and my life. It's not by our own goodness that we wake up one day and realize our pride, our self-centeredness, the sin in our life that's caused hurt, and we just decide ourselves one day, I'm a pretty good person. My mom and dad raised me right. I'm going to change myself. That's the opposite of the gospel. Jesus said that it's only by God's grace that our eyes open. And how does that happen? Listen to what Jesus said in John 16. This is before, right before his death. Again, Jesus is speaking about it's good that he would go away because Jesus and the Father will send the Holy Spirit, the advocate, who will bring to us the very presence of God, because the scripture teaches God is a spirit and we will receive him and know him through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. He's talking about after his death, resurrection, and ascension. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I am going to the Father. Again, remember, how is he going to the Father? Through his death and resurrection. And you will see me no more bodily after this. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world, the evil one, has already been judged. See, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit of God comes to us and he sends the Holy Spirit, he and the Father do. And the Holy Spirit's role is not only to teach us and remind us of the teachings of Jesus, not only to guide us in truth, but specifically to convince us of our sin. You know, I used to hear conviction and my mind always thought condemnation. Like it's God wants to yell at me from heaven and say, you sinner, and just so that he can just condemn me. But remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I've not come to condemn you, but to give you life. You see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit convincing us of our sickness, our spiritual sickness, which is sin in our hearts, the condition of our hearts that leads to actions that hurt God and hurt other people. The purpose of the Holy Spirit making you and I aware that we're sinners is not to condemn us. It's to cure us and to heal us. You see, that's why my doctor said to me, you know, Mark, you need to lose some weight. It wasn't because he wanted to shame me. It was the opposite. He cared for me and wanted me to know that there is another way to live. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God loves us so much. He sent Christ. Christ willingly died, demonstrating the love of God, our Creator, so much so that you and I might come to see that there's a cure for the sickness of our hearts, which is sin. You see, the truth is we all have sinned. We've all done evil. I have. We all have. And our only hope is that after the Holy Spirit convinces us of our sin, He then convicts us and He shows us that God's righteousness is found in the righteous one, Jesus Christ, and it's through trusting in Him. And then He reminds us that evil will once and for all be dealt with, and our Creator will restore all that's broken. There will be perfect justice. That's the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a healing that is for us. Secondly, the good news reminds us that there is a hope that holds us. There is a hope that holds us. I want to look at that together. Before I do, I want to come back to a scripture that I think it's important. It's in Isaiah. If you wonder, is God wanting to condemn me? Listen to what God says through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." You see, God convinces us that our current way of living, our hearts are not as they should be. They're sinful, because He desires to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to make us new again. And this gives us a hope, and this hope holds us. I want to read 1 Peter 3 through 9, and my hope and prayer that if you're a follower of Jesus, that these words once again would remind you that you have hope, a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ, my hope is that you'll hear this hope can be yours, just as it has become ours. This is written by Peter, and let me remind you, this is the same Peter that when Jesus, before Jesus was risen, when Jesus was talking about how He's going to die, do you remember how Peter said, "Far be it from me, Lord, this is never going to happen to you. I'll never let you be arrested and die. I'll give my life, and far be it from me." Something changed in Peter. Rather than resisting pain, after seeing how God's love was demonstrated through the willing, sacrificial suffering of Jesus, Peter, after seeing Jesus alive, became a witness, not just with his words, but he himself was willing to suffer like Jesus. And listen to what he says to Christians that are suffering in the first century AD after Christ returned to heaven. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, which is the very salvation of your souls." You see, Peter is speaking about this living hope that we have. If you're wondering, maybe you've seen on TV somebody claiming to be a person of God or a preacher, and they've said things like, if you follow Jesus, Jesus will heal all your diseases. Jesus will make your bank account grow, and life will be wonderful. It's not what Scripture teaches. All you have to do is dig deeper and see that as good as that sounds, it's not true. So many of those teachers you may see, TV or other places, they'll say things like, you know, if you want to be healed, just send a check to my ministry. There's a lot of false teachers. The very apostles warned against them. Peter says that you will suffer for a little while till the Lord Jesus comes back. You see, Christians, and I could tell you stories in our church family, in my own family, we face disease, we face sickness, we faced even our own eventual death, but we have a hope, a living hope that's not our own. It is the presence of the Lord Jesus himself in us. You see, the resurrection of Jesus from death, crucifixion, to new life, resurrected life, the firstborn, that resurrection forever marks us. And when you trust in Jesus and you believe in him and you find life in his name, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead we have. So we know that while it's true, disease may touch us in this life if God allows. Suffering may touch us. We may face an untimely death. We are utterly convinced that we have a living hope in Jesus. And Peter says his greatest desire in suffering is that his faith would be shown to the world to be genuine, that others would come to believe. You see, going back to my point, let me encourage you, find a real Christian. And let me encourage you, if you are a real, genuine follower of Jesus, I plead with you, find somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. Don't try to get them to church. I hope they come to church one day. Open up your life. Be vulnerable. When you suffer, let them see you. Let them see your hurt. Let them see your questions. But let them see the hope of Jesus. That's how the church grew. That is the hope that we have. There is a living hope. Let me tell you this. If you get around a real Christian, you'll see this. And I believe it with all my heart and have experienced it. It's not the size of their faith that carries them through those times. The most godly people in times of suffering have had questions and fear. No, it's the strength of the hope, the resurrecting presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that holds Christians. It's God in us that enables us to endure those difficult times. It's the strength of his hold on us, not the strength of our faith. Because our faith is sometimes, like Jesus said, the size of a mustard seed. It's small faith in a great God. The final thing I want to share with you, the final thing that the gospel tells us is this. Not only do we have a healing that is for us to cleanse our hearts, to make us new, and a hope that holds us, we have a heritage to give, a heritage to give. It's a lasting heritage. You know, the older we get, I know we become concerned about what we're going to leave our kids and grandkids, and those are important conversations. It's important to think about, will we leave something to help them, whether that's property, land, or some monetary gift. An inheritance and a heritage really matters. You see, a heritage can mean more than that. It's practices or characteristics that are passed along from one generation to the next. We are shaped by not just the things and the stuff. In fact, they don't primarily shape us. It's by the practices and the character that is passed down. And the truth is that we all receive a heritage from our families. Sometimes it's good, and for some of us, it was terrible. And we started off our journey to becoming an adult without the loving support of good parents, a good mom and a good dad. Some of us, that's our story. Others of us experience tremendous love and care from our family, and it's a good, godly heritage. And the truth is, both shape us. The good experiences, the good characteristics and practices, and the bad ones, or the absence. But the gospel tells us, and God's grace tells us, that while it's true that those things shape us, they don't have to define us. We can respond to God's grace, and we have a choice to break a family cycle, to allow God and his grace to change it, to pass along good. Another thing that's important is if you have had godly parents, good parents, it's not automatically going to happen that just by you hitting cruise control, you'll pass along to your children what you receive from them. Each one of us have a heritage to give. And the good news of Jesus tells us this. If we leave a house, one day it's going to be gone. If you leave a boat, one day it's going to be gone. If you leave a bank account, one day it's going to be spent. But if you pass along the faith, the living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is a lasting heritage that'll endure for generations. I want to share an illustration of this from an individual in Scripture named Timothy. Timothy was a third-generation Christian. We know in Scripture that Timothy, his mother was godly. Her name was Eunice. She was a Jew who believed in Christ, and his grandmother was Lois. And in 2 Timothy 2:5, we hear that it's their faith that ultimately led a young Timothy in the first century to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to become a pastor in the New Testament church. Timothy as well, in addition to this godly heritage he had there, he had a spiritual father in Paul. And now what's interesting is Paul, we know, calls Timothy his son repeatedly. And we know that Timothy was part of Paul's inner circle as the apostle Paul would go and share the faith. And so just as Timothy was a third generation in his biological family, in a sense, he was kind of like a third generation in his spiritual family. You see, you remember that Paul encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road, but Paul wasn't directly an eyewitness to the crucifixion. He wasn't with Jesus from the beginning like the 12. And we're told in Scripture that Paul went for 3 years, and probably during that time we know that he spent time with Peter, with James, and with others that he calls the brothers. And really, that shaped Paul, that in Corinthians he said, I'm passing along to you what was delivered to me. There's this tradition, there's this passing along of the faith from one genuine follower of Jesus to the next. We don't know about Timothy's earthly father, other than he was a Greek, which might lead us to believe that perhaps he didn't hold on to the faith that began in his Jewish parents who came to believe in the Lord Jesus and trust in him. But we don't know about him. But what we do know is that Paul became that mentor. I want to show you a bit of this relationship as it developed and it really developed in Paul speaking of Timothy as his fellow worker. He calls him a brother. He calls him a bondservant, a beloved son, a co-equal in the Lord's work. But I think it leads us to a point of asking an important question. Just like Timothy, I think it's helpful for us to pause and think, what is the heritage you received? Think about your earthly family. Think about your mother. I know it's Mother's Day. Think about your grandmothers. Think about your father, your grandfathers. What kind of heritage have you received? I don't know Timothy's whole story, but we know his mom and grandmother. It was a good heritage. It was a godly heritage. I don't know about his dad. Seems like maybe not there. But what about his spiritual heritage? And I want you to think about your spiritual heritage. Maybe you didn't experience the love that every child deserves from an earthly father or mother. Who is it in your life that although you don't share DNA, you're not related with this individual, who is it that became a spiritual father or mother to you? And I want you to reflect on that today. I think it'd be appropriate to take time even, maybe in this day, to send a text message. Let me encourage you, maybe make a phone call. Don't assume there'll be another opportunity later. Tell that person how much that has meant to you, their love, whether they're earthly or spiritual. And then secondly, I want to invite you, please think about the answer to this question. What heritage are you giving? Are you going through life just receiving from other people? We all start off there, especially when we're younger and we benefit from those who give us a heritage. But it's not just that when we're older, we can start giving a heritage and we can start passing along. And I want to ask you, if you have kids, all the more, now's the time. Share, open up, seek to share and know Jesus and share that heritage with them. I also want to challenge you, maybe if you don't have children, or even if you do have children, don't limit it to your family. Find somebody who's broken. Find somebody who doesn't have an earthly father or mother to love them. Give them a seat at your table. Welcome them. Love them. Treat them as they are your very own. You see, if you come to experience the healing of Jesus in receiving the salvation in Him, the forgiveness of sins, being given a new heart, and your heart being made to be like Jesus, if you experience the living hope through the Holy Spirit in us that we have, the hope of Jesus till he comes, that gives you the ability, it holds on to you during suffering, God intends that you share it. You have a heritage to give. It's so important. I look forward to the day the doors open so we can get people in here. But my hope in prayer deeply and my passion for myself is, God, help me. If you can use Mark McCall to help reach one single family, one person who is broken and hurting and lost, that's worth everything to me. You have a heritage. I have a heritage. If you have the Lord Jesus, you have a living hope to share with other people. And my hope and prayer is that you would share that heritage. Psalm 103 is a special psalm because it's a psalm that means a lot to my family. It says this, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." That's right after the psalmist saying that he's delivered me, he's forgiven my sins. And then he says that although our lives are short, they're like a breath, they're temporary, they're like the grass that's here one day and gone the next. He says, but the steadfast love of the Lord is an enduring heritage that we pass on, that God passes on his steadfast love to the children's children. And as we close today, I just want to make that a little personal. I determined, as I think of my family, sometimes I find myself as a pastor the next day second-guessing myself for sharing personally. But I've experienced in my heart this sense that I'm willing and I want to share, because I can't help but share what Jesus did for my family. And I know that the hope of Jesus, that not just that he did to my mom and dad, but to me, has changed me. And I know that the righteousness of God, not Mark's, is being passed to my children. And more than anything, I want to share that not just with my family, but I want to share it with you, and I want to share it with as many people as possible. 5 years ago today, I saw, it was shared to me again, that our worship team, when I first started here, only been here a few months, we did a cardboard testimony. And if you've never seen a cardboard testimony service, it's where individuals are invited to come, and on one side of the cardboard, they share what their life was like before Jesus, before they knew Jesus, before God found them, and they experienced this healing in their heart and this hope. And then they flip the board and they share on the other side what Jesus has done for them and what difference he's made. And during that time, I had forgotten about this. Somebody contacted me this week and reminded me. My father shared. And if you don't know, my father passed away almost exactly a year ago at a young age, 66 years old, to multiple kinds of cancer. Tragically, he suffered. But my dad, I remember watching, I just watched the video. He walked across the stage as the music was played, and my dad shared his testimony on that board. And I want to share with you what he shared, because it's not just my dad. This was my mom's testimony too. And it's not just my mom's. This is my testimony. This is my family's. And more than anything, I want this to be my children's testimony and my grandchildren's testimony. On the first side of it, my dad held up a cardboard testimony, and it said, "Hopelessly ruined life." Dad said, "Hopelessly, I ruined my life." And if you don't know my dad's story, he didn't have a father. There wasn't the love of a father that was there really until his mom remarried 15 years later when he was 15 years old. It wasn't present in his life. There was no biological father. And my dad resulted, and he went to several things and away from Christ, and he was hurting in his heart. But then somebody shared the gospel with my dad and my mom. And this became the reality, where in one generation there was a dad whose father, biological father, was an alcoholic, was a bad man who betrayed and left many women, not just my grandma, but left many women to raise kids without a man present or a helpmate. And in one generation, God took my family from a hopelessly ruined life to being given a brand new life in Jesus. And you see, I've come to find, even going through loss last year, that there is a hope. And there's a deepening in my heart that God is doing, a passion to know Him, to love Him, to understand more fully what it means to move from death to life. And my greatest prayer and passion for you is, if you sit here today and you say, this sounds great, but can it be true? Go back. I want you to consider the evidence, engage your mind, science, history, look at it, look at the best resources, but get to know somebody like my father and my mom. Get to know somebody. Hope you can get to know me and get to see the story of what life was like without Jesus and hear what the difference that Jesus has made. You see, the evidence points us to the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how terrible your history has been, maybe like my dad, and maybe Mother's Day is a hard day or any day because there's hurt emotions and feelings. But I want to tell you something today in the gospel. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will hold you. And Jesus will help you. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. And today, as you consider the evidence, if you will turn to Him, Jesus is a healer. He can restore your heart to a right relationship with God. There is a hope that you can live your life with every day, even through suffering, even through difficulty. There's a hope that will hold on to you in Jesus Christ. And there is a godly heritage that you can give to the next generation in your family and outside of your family, a lasting heritage. We're going to close with prayer before Lydia sings a final song for us today. My hope is that if you are aware that the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Himself, is convincing you of your spiritual need, my hope is that you would see this moment. The reason He's convincing you is not to condemn you, but it's to give you His life. He wants to give you the cure. He wants to make you new again so that you can live in His hope and know the power of His death and resurrection. Will you pray with me as we close? Father in heaven, I thank you for this time we've had here on this Mother's Day. And even as we think of the heritage that we have received, good or bad, we know that because Jesus was crucified and was raised, there is a hope that we can live our lives with. There's a healing that's available to us if we will turn to you, and there's a lasting heritage we can give. Father, I just pray that if anyone today does not yet know this healing, but they're becoming convinced through your Spirit of their spiritual need, of your grace, I pray in this moment that today would be the day of their new beginning, that today would be the day that they would consider the evidence and they would move like Thomas from being a skeptic to saying, my Lord and my God, and that today would be the day that the hope of the living Christ would fill their hearts, that hope that will hold them through all of their lives, through whatever they face, that hope that one day will be fully realized when Jesus returns. And Father, may you open their eyes to see how today is the day to begin leaving that lasting heritage for those in our families and beyond, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Beautiful your arms open for us. Ooh.
Well, once again, I want to say thank you for joining us for our online worship service. And we pray that this time has been a blessing to you, that you have felt the presence of God. And if there's any way that we can be praying for you, any way that we can be encouraging you, you can let us know. If you're a member of our family Facebook page, you can share that there. Or if you'd just like to reach out to us directly here, you can go to our website, peorianazarene.church. And there's a contact link there at the top of the page, and you can fill out a form. And that will give us your contact information. If you have a question or anything you'd like to share with us, you can do that through there. Also, if you are a member of our church family, as we have said, you can give through our website as well. And many of you are doing that. You can click the give link at the top there. And there's instructions on how to do that. Well, once again, thank you for joining us. We pray that you have a blessed Sunday. We pray especially that you mothers have a day of relaxation and a day of celebration, and that you have a wonderful and blessed week. And join us again here next week, next Sunday at 10:30, right here on YouTube and Facebook. Have a wonderful week.